I'm Carrie.
And I'm Chrissy.
And we are
Status Macabre.
Recorded live from the Maddie Johnson Podcast Studio at GOT Sound Studio in Columbia, South Carolina. This is Status Macabre.
Hello. Welcome back. Hey.
You hit the button and I was like, oh,
I hit the button and then I was waiting for the timer to start.
Gotcha.
Because even though, so there's a combination of things that happen, which I know you know. The button turns colors from green to red, so you know that, hey, it's recording, right. Which is weird for me because I'm thinking green means go, but here green means, hey, dummy, you're not recording. And then there's the count that starts.
And so you're waiting for all of those to happen.
And I'm watching and waiting to make sure everything is happening collectively.
Versus me, I'm like, click, and we're on.
In action.
Let's go.
So, yeah, that's the delay. So happy Father's Day out there.
Happy Father's Day. Yes, to all those who are fathers.
Yeah.
And those that are single moms who also have to be fathers.
Yes.
So happy Father's Day to you as well.
That is very true. I have not called my father yet, my dad, but he has a little part-time job and I think he sleeps until noon.
Yeah.
And then, because normally when I call or text, my mom will say, your father's sleeping. Like, oh, my bad.
Like you knew. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but today's debatable. Like he may not have worked this morning. So I'm going to give it until when we're done here and then I'll.
Yeah, I texted my dad. They were on the way to IKEA. So
in Charlotte?
Yeah.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah.
That's like a casino because, I mean, you don't have the gambling.
Yeah.
There's no windows. You walk around. There's a popcorn booth, a hot dog booth. And then all you do is just throw shit in your cart. And you just, I went one time and I don't think I will ever go back.
I love IKEA.
And I remember putting a bunch of shit in the cart and then I couldn't find my way out or even to the damn registers. I don't know what happened, but I was with my sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
At the time. Yeah. And I was like, I'm just putting all of it back. So I just dumped it. And I was like, as soon as I found out how the hell to get out of there. And I think she spent like a decent amount of money. I was like, I'm done with this place.
Yeah, because it's a mess. It's like a maze. You got to go through.
Terrible.
And they like have arrows on like how to get out.
Oh God. That would have been though, probably 9 or 10 years ago. So
it's only gotten worse.
Well, they have one. And so the biggest one that I had ever seen at the time clearly was the one in Concord or Charlotte whatever.
Yeah, Charlotte, yeah.
And then recently in Florida, we drove to Key West and there is one that makes the one in Charlotte look like a food lion like this. I mean, I was like, oh dear God, but it's South Florida. Like it's South Florida. It may have been, I don't think it was past Miami, but it was
it's for
close.
All the rich people, so that's where all the rich IKEA stuff is.
But isn't it cheap furniture isn't it like...
It depends. Like,
it
is.
Very poorly put together? Or
oh, I don't think it's
you
very...
You put it together, though, right?
Yeah, you have to put it together.
I've watched the videos where the guys are like, never put the IKEA furniture together.
Yeah. I mean, you have to put it together, but I mean, I've got a couple of things from IKEA, so
some of the stuff was really... Like, the concept's cool.
Right.
Because they had the layout of how to make a 400 square foot apartment.
Oh, it's awesome.
Trendy, right?
Right.
But I'm like, now that's awesome.
Yeah. That's the little thing. I just like that whole, it's almost like you have a little Lego house. It's just cute. Right. I love it. So anyway, I digress.
Credited IKEA. And how did we get from Father's Day to IKEA? Oh, because your dad's on the way to IKEA.
Yeah.
God. Oh, man. And I was going to talk about the heat, but today it's really nice.
It is. It's
and
only in the 80s.
Cool. Yep. And the last few days, I think it's been hotter this year. I don't even think we've hit summer yet, but it's been in triple digits.
Next week is supposed to be
like 102,
104 or 103. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And we're sitting in a studio with
no
air. So if you hear this whirling sound, it's the fan that we stole from one of the other rooms, and
we'll put it back, we promise.
We'll put it back, but it's a little toasty.
it's a little warm, and I feel like you'll be fine.
Oh, I'm going to be fine, yeah.
But I'll be the one that's going to be like, oh, God.
Yeah, you may need to change your shirt before we leave.
I don't know that it'll be that bad, but you know what? I digress. Okay, I have another question. Have you seen the new Top Gun movie?
I did, and I saw it in the IMAX theater.
Is it worth it?
I thought it was great.
Now, were you a Top Gun fan before?
I watched the movie, and the concept's pretty cool, whatever. Yeah. excuse me. I went with a friend that, you know, used to fly F-14, so, and then we also took my son and his friend, and my son thought it was the coolest thing ever because some of the, you know, scenes are actually in the cockpit.
Right.
And so if you have motion sickness, I would not recommend going to see it, but
really,
because yeah, it, but it is, I think it's really good. I thought it was a good movie. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
But I would recommend seeing it in the IMAX theater just because of the scenes in, it's just super cool on the screen.
Right.
And IMAX.
It's the way it, yeah.
Were you a fan of the first Top Gun movie?
So I saw it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, oh my God.
Oh yeah. I don't think I've seen it, but a couple times.
I mean, I think I definitely watched it because probably my dad was watching it or something when I was younger because it's right. been out. I mean, the original one came out 20.
Oh yeah. It was like 86
years ago
that it came out.
Likely saw it. I know I've seen it, but it hasn't really resonated with me,
yep.
But I've seen several memes where I guess there's this part where the guy takes his shirt off and they're kind of maybe playing.
Oh,
and they're like, and they're like, oh dude. And I was like, okay, well, that probably would be worth watching it. I'll probably check it out, but I'm not a theater person.
Oh, you that's know, right.
I avoid this. I'm waiting on the 22nd. Is when the Doctor Strange comes out on, so I'm waiting for that. So I'll probably wait until I can watch it at home.
It's a good movie. I am not a big fan of Tom Cruise because I just think he is super weird.
He's weird, but you know what? You're right. He is weird, but he's a good fucking actor.
I was going to say, he is a good actor.
He can do everything.
He did, he's got his own P-51 plane is in the movie.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And he's a pilot. And a damn good one. There is actually on YouTube, if you go and, search for who's the talk show host, but James Corbin, is that his name? He's the bigger set guy. He's the one, I think he does the car karaoke or whatever. Huh. He's a comedian. Anyway, so Tom Cruise takes him out in his P-51 and then another jet and they're doing barrel rolls and stuff. And
no, thank you.
He's screaming in the back seat. Like, I'm going to throw up. It's great. It's hilarious.
And Tom Cruise is like,
yeah, you're okay, buddy.
Hold it in there.
Yeah. Because I will say again, Tom Cruise is a weird dude, but he is funny and he's a good actor. So if you happen to get a minute, search that up on YouTube, it's James Corbin and Tom Cruise.
It's
pretty funny.
Because I watch Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah.
But he's not an actor that I'm like, oh, I want to see anything else about him and his personal life other than, was that the Katie Holmes thing when he jumped up on the couch and was like, I love this
whatever.
Woman.
Well, he's huge.
Oprah or something.
Yes, but he's a huge Scientologist, which is why I say he's freaking weird as hell.
Yeah.
I'm not down with cults. I mean, as much as they are interesting,
I don't want to
exactly.
I like to bring the information to you, and that's a perfect segue because one of the things we're going to be talking about today is what I would call a cult, but I think that's debatable. So I'm going to be talking about inbreeding and incestuous cases.
So awesome,
and that is one of the words that I like to say incestuous. It just sounds
it's a good word.
So creepy.
It is a very macabre word. I'll tell you that.
Inbreeding and incest have been around for you guys millions of years, believe it or not, from royalty to the outback of Australia and all the way back to our ancestors, the Neanderthals. It's disgusting because of. As a culture here in the United States, it's looked down upon. It's like you're the out crowd. If you
born. Well, if you think about it, back then you have to populate the earth. There's only so many people. So,
yeah.
And nobody probably knew it was disgusting. And well, from the Neanderthal situation now, Victorian age, I'm sorry, you should know better.
Well, and then so we'll talk about a little bit about, I mean, I'm not peeling all the layers of the onion back, but we're going to talk a little bit about its popularity and get a little bit into different definitions. But in recent studies, and this is DNA that was taken from dead Neanderthal bones that we have, it proved that, you know, they were severely inbred, and it's likely due to living in small, isolated populations. Quote, in the distant past, human populations were only in the thousands, maybe tens of thousands, and lived locally, exchanging mates only when they're only with their nearest neighbors. So it wasn't, I mean, I guess if you think about, and I'm going to say caveman, right? If you think about that time, they were, I would imagine, very emotional and responding to whatever a need was. I want to have sex. Here you go. Here, right here. Let's do this now. I'm hungry. Let's go, I don't know, eat a bug or whatever they did.
Well,
right?
In their grunts, they probably just got naked and were like,
they were probably already naked.
Yeah, oh, that's fair. That right? is a fair point.
Although I do think about Fred Flintstone when the with the club.
They're in their little car with their feet and they're right. running to sex party. Yabba-dabba-do, bitches.
Also, according to research, our DNA still carries some evidence of small populations. And a study completed in 2010 suggests that our ancestors 1.2 million years ago had a population of only about 18,500 that was spread over a large area. So,
wow.
You know, yeah. So when you think about, and here's,
that's not here's, a lot of people.
Here's what I'll say. Right. So when you think about, I don't know if you remember from school, but Pangaea, right? The one that is 200 plus million years ago.
Right.
So we're not that far back. But, and I don't know, because I don't remember what the earth would have looked like in terms of continents and how close they were together and how far they were spread apart and blah, blah, blah. But if you only think about less than 20,000 people.
Yeah. That's not even.
And imagine a subset of those people living in a small area.
Yeah.
And all you have is your cousin and sister.
Well, I was going to say, like, the state of South Carolina has millions of people in it. So if you just take the population of Irmo, where we live, or Chapin,
mm-hmm.
and you're only.
And Chapin's small.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're only having sex with those people in that little small
community.
There's
a high probability that.
You'd be having sex with your brother.
Yeah. Or. You know,
it just creeps me out.
It just creeps me out. So the first segment or the first family I want to talk about is the Colt family. Now, I have dubbed it the Colt.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
All names, including the last name Colt, are court-appointed pseudonyms. And of course, they were changed to protect the family. And as we go through this, you guys, you'll realize that there were a lot of minors that were involved. And so every name that I'm going to tell you has its own story, and it relates to an actual true name of someone else. But all these names are fake and false. I couldn't find any.
So is the last name Colt?
The last name is Colt. C-O-L-T.
But that is the real name. That's not the pseudonym.
It's the pseudonym.
Oh, okay. So it could be the Browns.
The Smiths, the Browns.
Okay, okay.
It could be the Wilsons. It could be.
I wouldn't doubt it's the.
You know, the more. It could be anything. I just. Right. I don't know.
Okay.
And this truly is one of the most, I find, most bizarre inbreeding / incestuous family cases that I know about. And for over four generations, the Colt family practiced inbreeding and incest going all the way back to 1948. In 1966, a woman named June married Tim in New Zealand. They immigrated to Australia and had seven children. Again, you guys, fake names here, but these are all the names that I found in the research. So they do use these names over and over for the research. The seven children, their names were Rhonda, Betty, Cherry, Frank, Charlie, Paula, and Martha. Now, I don't expect you guys to remember every single name. So as we go through this, you may hear me say daughter of Tim and June. So it's a there's going to be a lot of incestuous conversation with names that we're going to be having here. Yeah. June was the product of an incestuous relationship. Her parents were actually siblings. Tim, on the other hand, was not from related blood that I could find.
So he was normal.
Well,
normal being relative, ish. Right? Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
He wasn't from sister and brother. He didn't have that blood. He didn't have that mentality. I assume not. So I'm not sure what motivated Tim. Maybe he was coerced by June. Maybe it had always been a really gross, sick fantasy of his. Truly, who really knows? Either way, Tim began having sex with his daughters when they were pretty young. For some, 10 to 12 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, he had 7 kids. So he had a wife and several daughters to choose from. They even knew and allowed the sons to rape their sisters. And it happened very regularly. And it's difficult for us to absorb that, but it happened often enough and nobody stopped it. It was a disgusting sexual free-for-all. Martha, Betty, and Rhonda ended up having children that were fathered by either Tim or one of their very own brothers. So it gets very difficult to understand the relationship where your uncle / half-sibling, right? Or what are you? It's very difficult.
You're your own grandfather.
And I'm right. And I'm not going into how that works, but it's difficult to comprehend and understand. So I know there's going to be probably some grayness for you guys listening. Martha had 6 children. Betty, who would be considered the matriarch during the trial, had 13 children. And Rhonda had 5. All of these children, again, were fathered by Tim or one of the brothers from the mother.
So her, the mother's brother. Sorry, so exactly. The uncles. Okay.
Exactly. You're my uncle / you're my father. Oh, yeah.
I can't.
I know. and here's the thing is, I don't have any sisters, but I have 3 brothers and you're in the exact same boat.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't even register as semi-pseudo-normal at all. It's the most disgusting thing.
It is. And being the oldest, I feel like my brother tried to attack me, I'd beat the shit out of him.
Well, and then, you know, these children were raised to think
it was okay.
That's
though.
The mentality, right? Mm-hmm. They were raised to think that it was okay. There were also grandchildren and great grandchildren that were the result of incest. So every child was a product of an incestuous relationship in this family. Betty even allegedly seduced one of her own sons. So no one was safe from the abuse in this family. The look on Chrissy's face is priceless.
I was going to say, look at my face right
now. It's disgusting. I mean, your face isn't disgusting. I mean, the concept is disgusting.
I get it. I'm making a disgusting face.
So let's talk a little bit about inbreeding and incest, because they're somewhat related, but they do have differences. So incest and inbreeding really are 2 separate concepts with 1 or 2 minor related aspects. When you have cases of incest, you typically see, say, a parent that rapes a child, usually underage, or a sibling that rapes another sibling. And again, most of this is under the age of 18. But this is done, this is done without a child being produced. Not that it's never happened, but typically. When looking at inbreeding, you have related, whether it's closely related or just related individuals that consent to having sex and choose to bring a child into the world. So incest is more along the lines of raping a family member,
right,
or abusing a family member sexually, and inbreeding is the act of all of that.
Consensual.
But it's consensual, and there's a child that's brought into this world. But whether you're dealing with inbreeding or incest, and for whatever reason, it usually goes on for generations before they're caught or even stopped. In the cult situation, you have both incest and inbreeding. And you have family members that are trying to hide it, as well as family members that were trying to speak up and say, hey, this is wrong and it needs to stop. There were some of Tim and June's grandchildren, the females that were raped repeatedly that didn't want to be raped. They knew it wasn't. They didn't like it.
Well, no, it's got to be, you know, psychologically, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's just common or normal to think that that's wrong.
I would think so, right?
Like, you're not supposed to touch me. You're my brother.
It's my no-no square.
Thank you. My no-no square. Exactly.
Right. And
that's
got
to be subconsciously,
again,
like, part of your makeup when you're born to know that's wrong.
You would think so, but... And you did have some of the children, whether it was because it was painful or they didn't like it or whatever, but not all of them were like that. Mm-hmm. Also, too, from June's perspective, she was the one who was the product of a sibling relationship. We don't know how far back inbreeding went in her family.
Right.
It could have been 3 or 4 generations. She could have been the first one. We don't know. I could not find any information about that. And I'm a true believer that if you keep doing something illegal, you will eventually get caught. And the law did get involved. All of the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, cousins, whoever, were threatened not to tell anyone of what was happening or there would be consequences. And, of course, somebody would likely go to jail. And, you know, you can really... A child is very easily manipulated with stuff like that because they don't want to hurt their mother or father or aunt or uncle or whoever. And believe it or not, there were 7 welfare reports on the Colt children that were filed. And this is one of the things that sparked police interest. Several times, Child Protective Services went to the property and left, having left items to make life a little more comfortable or having left the Colt with warnings. You know, change X, Y, and Z, or, you know, the potential is we could remove the children from the... compound.
The compound. I was going to say, definitely it's a compound.
The Colt family was on authorities' radars for a total of 5 years, whether it was the police or the Child Protective Services. They did go out, right? I didn't get the thought that they thought that everybody there was inbred, mm-hmm. but that there were definitely sketchy things that were going on in terms of the children's welfare.
So was this, and you may have said it, and I apologize, but from a time frame standpoint, okay, this was in the 40s, 50s, so you didn't have the ability to go, give me your blood, let me see how you're in.
Well, that was when Tim and June were born.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, when they got married. Right. So now we are in like the 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Because now we're talking about the grandchildren.
Oh, okay. We're talking generations. Yeah.
So we have, okay. And I didn't mention that, we have fast forwarded, you know, we had the children, mm-hmm. the 7, and now we have the, I don't know, 20 something grandchildren.
Okay.
And now we have great grandchildren. And let's just say this, the Colts are a very proud family because ultimately they didn't make any changes. And when the police, quote unquote, raided the Colt property / compound, they found the children living in the following conditions. And not just the children, like the adults were also living in these conditions. They were mostly isolated from society outside of school. And that not all of them went to school. Not all of the children went to school.
I was going to say, I feel like these are very much homeschooled children.
Yes.
Nothing yes. wrong with homeschooling.
Right.
Please don't at me later. I'm just saying, how do you present your kid, your inbred kid, into a school
exactly.
and them not being made fun of?
Right. And these things are, again, a lot of these are second nature for us. So it's baffling to me. But there were no visible toilets. There were no visible showers or baths. And I get it. Maybe you don't have a bath, but you have a shower, or vice versa. You have a way to clean your ass, is what I'm saying. They all lived in campers and tents or in sheds. And they were filthy. They had dirty kitchens. Some had gas heaters that were improperly used or connected. And what I mean by that, if you've seen those single cooking eyes that you can camp with, you just connect to like gas. And So they were using those in tents or campers as a heater, as a way to heat the entire, which is very dangerous. And they had exposed electrical wires, bags of trash and garbage everywhere. There was rotten food in the refrigerator. All of the children wore filthy clothes and were unable to make eye contact. Now, what I saw, I double checked, unable to make eye contact. I don't know if they truly were just not making eye contact on purpose, but unable.
Is that you think a psychological thing, or they were like just so treated poorly and they were told not to make eye contact?
I think it's the latter, mm-hmm. but I'm I went back and it may be actually a combination of both mm-hmm. because the word is very clearly unable, not that they chose not to look.
Well, you know, that's like one of the key elements of autism.
Right.
You cannot make eye contact.
Or inbreeding.
Well, yeah, but I'm just like, I wonder if these kids were very much on the spectrum because of the inbreeding.
Yeah, I don't know. The children were difficult to understand and they had poor dental hygiene. And they had probably poor everything hygiene. It wasn't until caseworkers removed 12 of the children and performed DNA tests that proved that the parents... It essentially proved what the parents already knew, how severely inbred some of these children were, all the children were. And when I say 12, you're like, you're doing the math. Well, 13 plus 6 plus 5. So some of these were over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And some of these were actually grandchildren.
Oh, my.
So we've got a ton of...
That's a compound.
Exactly.
You've got a compound. Right? It's like the FLDS.
By now, you have great-grandchildren to June and Tim, all with a parent that was either related or closely related. And so I know I've said this a couple times. When I say that parents are closely related, I mean that you have a parent-child relationship or a full sibling relationship. And if you say parents are related, you're going into the cousin relationship, uncle-niece relationship or aunt nephew, half sibling, grandparent, grandchild relationship. So there is something like closely related would be the brothers. Yeah. I mean, the brother, the sibling relationship or the parent child relationship. Several of the children had cognitive impairments as well as developmental delays. Again, many were unable to speak clearly and the children did not know how, meaning they had never been taught to use a toothbrush, toilet paper, or how to wash.
I can't even.
And that's the thing that I really did want to talk a little bit about that. It's hard for us to understand because it's not how we were. I know how to use toilet paper and wash myself and brush my teeth. There's a lot of things I know how to do because I was taught. But if I had never been taught.
Yeah, it would be foreign to you.
It would be completely foreign. Like that second nature to us, that's completely foreign to those children at least. There were reports that a few of the children died at a very young age due to deformities or other issues. And one of the children, one of the babies, actually, I can't remember her name, but she was born with there was one picture. It almost looked like her neck was completely missing. They called it like a stub neck or I can't remember what they said, but the neck, the head just looked like it was sitting on shoulders. And she had a couple of other deformities. And so she didn't live very long. I don't think she lived past 3 months old, actually.
Oh, that's awful.
Of course, the adults denied, even after DNA evidence, that there was any incest or inbreeding that was going on.
Right.
And all in all, eight members were arrested. June and Tim, of course, had passed away before this ever happened. And likely thinking they're taking their secrets with them to the grave. The three women that were arrested, daughters and granddaughters to June and Tim, were charged with perjury and lying under oath. These women had a terrible time. They suffered abuse in prison. They were ostracized both in and out of prison, all because they had engaged in inbreeding and were the products of rape and sexual relations with their own father and brothers. They faced a terrible time. And you know what? A huge part of me says good, because even if you are brought up to think something is okay and you're in your 30s and 40s, and then you start to tell children to hide what we're doing to you,
you know it's wrong.
Something's not right. Three of the four male cult family members that were charged would face multiple counts of sexual assault. However, during the trial, 48 charges against the men were dropped. And this is very disappointing. So you had four male members of the family that were arrested. They dropped 48 charges. Now, that's not even all the charges, but it just goes to show.
That's a lot of freaking charges.
Right, how many charges they had. Derek, who is a grandchild to Tim and June, was charged with 2 counts of incest and convicted and sentenced to 3 years, 10 months.
That's it?
Yes. Charlie, who was the son to Tim and June, was found guilty of sexual intercourse with a person under 10 and indecent assault of a person under 16, and he was acquitted.
How?
Charges against Cliff, who is a grandchild to Tim and June, were completely dropped. Roderick, son to Tim and June, was found guilty of raping Petra. Petra was the grandchild, or is the grandchild to Tim and June, and she's one of the ones who spoke out and said she had told her uncles and whoever else that was raping her and molesting her to stop. He was given the maximum, which was only a 4-year sentence with a non-parole period of 2 years and 4 months.
Well, you have to keep in mind this is New Zealand.
Well, right? Now this is Australia. Australia,
and so maybe in Australian rules and laws are a little bit more lax. I don't know, but that is disappointing.
It's very disappointing. It's extremely disappointing. And I want to say again, all names provided, even the cult name, are court appointed pseudonyms. But if you Google the cult family from Australia inbreeding, this is what it comes up for you. I have no idea what the real names of this family is or are, and from what I can tell, several, if not all, of the members are out of jail. Betty, the daughter who had 13 children fathered by her uncles or her own father, had been attempting to contact other members of her family and is actually living with an adult daughter to this day. So she was court ordered not to contact, especially the younger children, mm-hmm. and especially the males. And she was reaching out on social media, like on Facebook.
And she was the one that tried to seduce her own son.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to note here, because I find this very interesting, and this again goes into the whole, I was born to be this way. This is from the time I was born, what I knew to be right. The younger children that were in child protective custody, it was documented that they, some younger than 10, often displayed sexual behavior either between themselves or with caregivers. Supposedly, these behaviors did stop over time. But basically, what I read was these children would go up to a caregiver and try to kiss them or touch them in a sexually explicit manner. And they would do the same thing to their siblings. Like, that's what they knew.
Mm-hmm. They're brainwashed.
Yeah. That they're brainwashed to think that was okay. And then if you think about anything else in your life, like if you look at racism, for example, if you're
born
from the time you were born to think X, Y, and Z about another race, hell, you can even just, let's just go to something super simple. Football team. If you're born.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Gamecocks, woo-hoo-hoo, then that's what you know and love. And when you look at it, when you take something that's like very serious and you compare it to something that's kind of trivial, it makes sense to me. I'm not condoning it.
Right.
I'm just saying I can understand how children get to a certain point.
Oh, yeah. Like that's it. And I brought up the FLDS, where it's the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. Mm-hmm. And if you watch some of those documentaries and the adults, shame on them. However, if you're brought up in that, yeah. You think it's okay to be married and, you know, and have 18 sister wives and have sex with a 60-year-old when you're only 16, 17.
Right.
And that's normal.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying. And I can empathize, whichever, with those children, because you don't know what you don't know.
And now I'm like, now I probably should stop doing this, because now I'm like, now I have even more distrust to people. Like, how are you raising your children?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and yeah, I feel like I do have a right to know.
Oh, I think we all do. Don't.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you teaching your children?
Well, yeah, because those are the people that are going to start leading in society or being in our society.
And don't fuck with my children.
Thank you. It's terrifying. It really is terrifying. You should have to fill out a form to have kids.
I agree. We probably shouldn't go there, because we get like hashtag banned, or
we're going to get added,
like, canceled, or whatever they're doing now.
We're not woke.
So that was the cult family. I want to talk a little bit about royalty and inbreeding. Note, I'm not putting incest here, because
incest is best.
Because, oh God,
I'm just kidding.
Because as far as I could tell, it really wasn't something that they condoned. The inbreeding, absolutely. And it's no secret that inbreeding among royalty has been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. Actually, it was considered completely normal. And I do want to clarify that it is really not practiced today. And let's take a look at why it was considered normal. The practice of inbreeding among royalty did serve a purpose to preserve power and privilege within a family line, to keep the bloodline pure, or for strategic diplomacy. Yeah, so that's how they justified it. And, you know, in 1500s, 1600s, all the way to the late 1800s and early 1900s, I can see how that made sense.
Oh, definitely. Like during the Civil War, you had cousins marrying cousins to keep land.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I get it.
While strange for us, this was a reason and one that I can see, like I said, making a ton of sense, especially between the 1500s and 1800s. However, the results of decades/centuries and generations of inbreeding, even among first, second, and third cousins, has caused many royals to stop the practice completely. So Queen Victoria, and this is the predecessor for Queen Elizabeth, their bloodline suffers from hemophilia. Now, hemophilia is the blood clotting disorder, where if you get a cut, your blood doesn't clot naturally, so you could essentially bleed out. Mm-hmm. And while everybody may carry that gene, not everybody essentially suffers from the actual, I don't know if it's a disease.
Yeah, I guess
I think it's a disorder, disease. But it can be passed. So you can see, and when you look through the history where you have some of, from Victoria to Queen Elizabeth, you can see some of the children that died, children, grandchildren, like maybe in their 20s or 30s, and it was because they actually did suffer from hemophilia. Now I think we have medicine. My sister-in-law has that, I believe, which caused her to have some problems whenever she was pregnant.
Oh, definitely. I can imagine.
She had, I couldn't imagine great pregnancies, but it was, I remember it being pretty tough for her. But that, as far as I'm concerned, they're pretty lucky.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably a dangerous situation if you cut your arm or something.
Well, and it would have been worse back in the, hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago.
Definitely.
King Tut. So we all know about King Tut. And his parents were actually siblings. He suffered, and again, we don't know what his parents were from, which I would imagine would be many, many generations of inbreeding. But he suffered from major deformities, which leads us to believe that inbreeding of a very closely related family members likely took place for many generations. He could barely walk, which meant he couldn't ride a chariot. Now, I don't know if you remember, but they said in school he died from a chariot accident. But basically, over the last couple of years, they've said, no, that really could not have happened based on his deformities, because a chariot is where you stand and it's pulled by the horse.
Right.
Or the two horses. Mm-hmm. And it's rough. There's no seat in there, you know.
It's kind of a rough ride. I can't be.
He had a club foot. Yeah. He had weak bones and a weak immune system. Now, all of this was discovered through DNA, you guys. He had very feminine hips, and he had feminine bone structure. He had all sorts of physical deformities and all sorts of issues. Mm-hmm. So many, many, many generations of inbreeding from, I would suspect, that really closely related.
Oh, definitely.
Relatives.
I can't. You think about, it's like your worst pieces of you from as a brother and a sister, and then you put those together to make a kid.
Yeah,
like that's just
great. Now, have you seen the picture of him?
Oh yeah, he's
got the, he just
wide hips. He looks like he could birth a barrel.
Yes,
for his legs.
Yeah, yes,
definitely.
And here's one that I knew the least about: the Habsburg dynasty. So there was so much inbreeding that an entire Spanish royal dynasty went extinct because of this inbreeding.
Oh, wow.
Which leads me to just put something I'll put a pin in it after I say it. But if the inbreeding was that severe in this dynasty, who's to say that our ancestors didn't potentially suffer from this?
No, absolutely. That makes sense.
But that's just a...
that's what happened to the
Neanderthals or the exactly.
Right.
We don't know, and I don't know that they've done any DNA on that. But this was around this was between 1500 and 1600, and the family was deeply inbred. They began to suffer from infertility. They had the notorious Habsburg jaw, which is that deeply protruded, elongated jaw with the
buck teeth.
not the the front, the top teeth like this.
Oh, okay. So severe underbite.
Underbite. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, they had the underbite. It was said that one of the royalty members, Charles II of Spain's own wife, would not look at him because of his physical features. So they were very physically deformed. I would imagine that they had probably difficulty speaking. They probably had problems keeping saliva in their mouth. Like when you think about the most or the worst cases over that long, right?
Well, so his own sister / wife.
Well, yeah, there you go. There you go.
You're like double insulted. My sister won't look at me, but wait, she's my wife.
Exactly. And speech was a problem. And they often had a lot of issues with motor skills. So these are the types of things that you see when a family is
inbred,
completely over inbred. I don't know what the word is. And it also, you know, there's also mental issues that come along with this. And I'm not saying everybody who has X mental issue, but I wonder if there's not some things that we suffer from today that could be linked to that, because, you know, we're all related.
Oh yeah. In some level, absolutely. Go to ancestry. Like my mom is huge to doing ancestry on my dad's side. And there was my parents are related via marriage. I mean, not blood related, mind you, but somewhere in there, there's somebody
that's married to somebody.
There's somebody that's married to somebody. And absolutely, they have the same last name on up the line, which is, you know, we as kids, you know, laugh and say,
oh, I'm sure.
We're all related.
Yeah.
We're all inbred. That's what's wrong with us. But I mean, it's creepy. When you think about it. I feel sorry for these kids who are like, again, nothing wrong with this, but embryo babies and, you know, test tube, you know, babies that, you don't know who your real parents are, and you're out in the world.
They will, when they get old enough to be on Ancestry.
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah. Now, one of the other families that I wanted to mention that I wanted to talk about is another family that, as when I was younger, was always in the news, the DuPont family.
You know what's funny? And I'm just going to throw this in there. I worked with a DuPont at my current job. He was a sales guy and he was a complete ass, which I find funny because it's spelled the same in everything.
Yeah. There may be some. Maybe some relation.
I'm curious if he's inbred and that's why he was a dick. But well,
you know,
I digress.
So I swear to you guys, every family that I researched, it said the most inbred family in the United States or Australia or Britain. I don't know, right? I don't know who's the most inbred. None of them are good.
How do you compare that?
I don't know that I want that title anyway, but I can't say that they're the most inbred in the United States, but I can say they absolutely had their fair share, and their family, I would say, is still suffering today. The DuPont patriarch, Pierre DuPont, now he's got a really long Frenchy middle name that I couldn't pronounce, so I just did Pierre DuPont. He openly encouraged inbreeding, directly telling his family, quote, "The marriages that I should prefer for our colony would be between the cousins. In that way, we should be sure of honesty of soul and purity of blood," end quote. Mm. So, you know, at least it wasn't brother, sister, but they are related, and they are what I would consider, I don't know if they're closely related, but they're too related for me.
I mean, I wouldn't want to marry my cousin. I'm just going to throw that out there.
No. The DuPont family members were raised, like I said, believing that it wasn't only acceptable, but that it was right. Again, you know, we're born into this kind of thing. It would turn out to be a big part of the DuPont legacy. Cousin marriage was extremely common within the family for an entire century. So when you take 100 years, and I'm just going to, for the sake of this conversation, and you try to say, how many generations can be in 100 years? Well, you know, I guess you could potentially start reproducing at the age of 10.
Yeah.
Likely didn't happen in this case, But I mean, there could be potentially 5 to 7, maybe 5 to 10 generations in 100 years. My point is several generations of inbreeding. Now, heading into the 1900s, they put incest aside because it was about this time that it started to become frowned upon. Now, keep in mind, over 100 years of inbreeding. So these guys definitely suffered from some shit. And we've all heard about the DuPont stories. Matter of fact, many of the DuPonts would claim that it was the inbreeding that had the lasting effect, and they would use it as a scapegoat for several of the disorders and things that they did.
That's convenient.
Right? I'm a product of 100 years of inbreeding. I mean, they might, it's not wrong, and who knows, but
I don't know that I would use that as my excuse for robbing a bank.
I think that would be a really like back pocket item. Like, they're about to put me under the jail. Okay, I'm inbred.
I confess, I'm inbred.
According to local legend in Delaware, the years of inbreeding gradually distorted their minds. Many of the DuPonts turned to Satanism, performing human sacrifices, with a goal of trying to summon the devil himself and make a pact with him. Oh, and these sacrifices, they would kidnap children from poor areas. Now,
and then they'd blame it on inbreeding.
Now, here's what I want to say about that. This is a local legend, but it is okay. One that is out there, you know? So there hasn't really been any, there's not a police report or anything that really can say this happened.
Okay.
There's nothing to substantiate this argument. But the DuPonts themselves, you know, this is something that's out there.
It could happen.
It could have happened. Then there's John DuPont. Socially and physically inept, he suffered from paranoia and was a very strange individual. He always had crazy ideas, one of them being to convert his mansion into a training center for wrestlers. And before you ask, he had no experience in wrestling, but it did attract many amateur wrestlers, one of them being Dave Schultz, who was actually a gold medalist. Now, I am clicking over to Wikipedia because I want to read a little bit about Dave Schultz here. Again, you guys, this is off the cuff. I am at Wikipedia, so I'm only going to be reading just a...
I just had to look him up. Okay, yeah. I remember
he's not a few things. Yeah. So he was an American Olympic and world champion freestyle wrestler. He was a 7-time world and Olympic medalist, and he also coached individuals and teams at a college level and privately. He also had a brother that was a wrestler. They were both noted for winning a gold at the same Olympics in 1984. So this is about the mid 1980s. Overall, seems like a really good guy. He volunteered and worked at some colleges. Him and his brother were in the Olympics. He definitely was a coaching and had a little bit of a career afterwards. But I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened. And again, you guys, I am reading this from Wikipedia. So Schultz trained at the Foxcatcher Center, which was one of the mansions that John DuPont converted into one of these wrestling arenas. Okay. And he was preparing, while he was there, he was actually preparing to go back into the Olympics. He was also coaching another wrestling team. But on January 26th in 1996, he was shot and killed by John DuPont, who was the owner of the center. DuPont exhibited bizarre and threatening behaviors for an extended period of time just before the murders, and apparently he would fluctuate up and down between these crazy, bizarre
moods.
So at the trial, neither the prosecution nor the defense suggested a motive for the crime. The jury rejected DuPont's plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. He was convicted as guilty, but it was also said that he was mentally ill. And he was sentenced to 13 to 30 years and died in prison in December of 2010. So essentially what happened is John DuPont lost his marbles. He was paranoid and...
All because he was inbred.
And he shot him 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so basically, this is also one of those things that they blamed on the years and years of inbreeding. And who can say, really, at this point? Because from this guy really didn't have any physical deficiencies or issues. But this is one of those where it's a little sketchy to me.
It is sketchy. Right? You just blame that shit on inbreed.
But it's questionable.
Sure. And that's sad. The guy was really young.
He was young and he was married. He had, I think, 2 or 3 kids. Oh. They cremated him. He was the first one to die. He died before his parents, everybody. And he, you know, you can always dig up dirt on somebody, hell. But he seemed like a good dude, like an honorable guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, stop inbreeding. It causes you to murder wrestlers.
So the last and definitely not the least family that I want to talk about are the Whitakers. And I watched a few videos on this family, and let me tell you, it put inbreeding into a whole new perspective for me, because this really is one of the videos that I've watched where you could see what happens to people, what it does to people. And it's not just a painting or picture of somebody that they've put together, a sketch from like King Tut or something that you're trying to, it is actual conversation. Okay. Trying to have conversations, right?
And I know nothing about this family until just recently.
Oh, God. So interestingly enough, this Odd family lives in Odd, West Virginia. Yes, there's a town called Odd, West Virginia, which I really want to go to now just because of this. Not to talk to the Whitakers, by the way. And they are famous solely because of the fact that they are inbred. And they were brought into fame in 2004 by Mark Leda is how I'm going to pronounce his name. He was threatened by neighbors of the Whitakers while trying to record and take pictures of the family, trying to have a conversation about, hey, what's going on here? Why do you look like that? And no, that's not how he worded it, but he had to, you know, he was stopped. He had to actually explain what he was there to do, why he was doing it. And ultimately, he was allowed to stay by the local police and the neighbors to ask questions and film. This family secrecy makes developing a family tree pretty much impossible. So self-reporting really is the only way to make a family, to create this family tree. And okay. What I mean by self-reporting is essentially exactly the way it sounds is, yes, my parents were related, or no, they weren't related. And
I gotcha.
Susie Bob is my sister, and Susie Bob's married to my cousin. Like that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
You're actually physically trying to put it together yourself or have someone else put it together. You don't have ancestry, which, wow.
Dude,
could
how
you imagine
I
what that would
say,
look like?
That would be so fascinating. Everybody's spitting this tube. We're going to mail this shit off. I gotta see. And there, you can see their tree is just linear. There's no tree.
So
it's just a flat line. It's a flat line.
And the most recent video, you can see Mark, who was the guy who was recording, attempting to interact with 3 family members. Now, these are Lorraine, Ray, and Timmy. There are also one or two other family members there, but they're really not involved in much of the conversation. And none of their responses really can be understood. Lorraine doesn't really even respond. She just is glazed over. And physically, you guys can, if you take a look at the video, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Like
I don't want to.
She's not all there?
It's like she's just not even acknowledging. But she's just content looking around like, okay, I'm just sitting here. And it's very apparent that they have undiagnosed mental and developmental conditions. Now, the Whitakers live in a small home and it's crammed with junk. There's old furniture. The family looks unclean. Ray has a sandwich that he's trying to eat. And when he's talking, when he's trying to answer, because Mark is asking questions, simple questions, mm-hmm. He is grunting and barking at the responses because he can't verbalize at all. And I doubt very seriously that he can comprehend. And when asked where another family member is that was in Mark's 2004 video, he just, and the grunts sound like, have you ever heard an owl like, arr, arr, arr? Like mm-hmm. That's what his grunts sound like. He eventually walks out to the front yard and points at what looks like a grave.
Oh gosh.
So this other family member, it's clear that he's passed, and we can only deduce, right, that he's buried in that spot.
It's like they've digressed to Neanderthals again.
Well,
inbreeding creates Neanderthals.
It's
cavemen, cavemen
right,
talk.
Right. And they're wearing, you know, they're wearing clothes that don't fit. It's very dirty. There's drool dripping from Ray's chin. It's sad, to be honest with you, especially to see it in motion right in front of you. I doubt very seriously the family works, and doubted that they even went to school. But Mark did ask, and it does appear that one of the guys named Timmy did graduate, but probably from a special needs class.
I was gonna say, wow, he's valedictorian. That doesn't seem very likely.
From what I can determine, the Whitaker family has not been examined by a doctor. However, any doctor, I doubt very seriously they've ever seen a doctor for anything, but that's not been confirmed. Many people in the town of Odd do believe that they suffer from inbreeding. So, but they also are very protective.
Really?
Of the family. Yeah. So Mark writes, and I quote, again, Mark is the guy who was taking the video. Mm-hmm. Quote, the individuals in this video are brothers and sisters, except for Timmy, who is a cousin. There is no way I would be able to confirm that the Whitaker parents were related. But given that this does happen in this part of the country and the Whitakers are the most extreme case I've ever seen so far, I would bet that inbreeding was at least partly responsible for the mental and physical abnormalities seen in Lorraine, Freddie, Ray, and Timmy, end quote. Now, Freddie was the guy that was there in 2004 that they think is buried in the front yard.
Okay, got it.
And then there is a little bit of, because Mark did ask if the parents were related. Mm-hmm. And it seems like in one of the videos there was a yes, but then when he recorded in the most recent one, they were like, no, they weren't related. So open to interpretation. Now, I've been intrigued by this family for years. I would love to know more, but I don't think that we'll ever really understand what has happened without DNA, and it appears that they have no interest in that. Mark warns in one of his videos, quote, I strongly discourage anyone attempting to look for the Whitakers, as their armed neighbors and the Riley County deputies both make it clear that curious visitors are not welcome, end quote. It's also that where they're located is very private. So I don't even know how Mark
got
found
to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to share this from Mark, because if you go out and you look at these videos, you're like, Mark, fuck off, right? Leave these guys alone. That's the first time I watched the video. I'm like, why are you doing this?
Even bothering
Why are you bothering? Mm-hmm. And he does say, quote, to be clear about my interactions with the family, I brought them pizzas and soft drinks and paid them nicely, which goes a long way in southwestern Virginia, where the average yearly income is as low as $12,000 a year in some counties.
Wow.
This was my fourth visit, and I've given the family a financial gift each time. So he claims he's, you know, doing this for research, and he's trying to, and that's great. But what else are you doing, Mark?
Well,
because no one else can go in there mm-hmm. and get any information. Like, there's no scientists collecting DNA. There's nothing. He's just going and recording. But you need to go check his videos out.
I absolutely will. I wish he would take some spit tubes, though. I mean, come on.
Hey, I brought you a Coke. I'll take the can back.
Thank you.
now, I wanted just, we're wrapping up here. I just have a couple of noteworthy items that I thought were interesting that I think you guys would probably find interesting as well. Did you know that Queen Elizabeth and Prince Charles are third cousins?
No.
I was like, oh.
Yeah. So the current Queen Elizabeth.
And the deceased.
Prince Charles.
Third cousins.
Third cousins.
So technically, the inbreeding didn't really stop until, Meghan and Harry and Kate and Charles, right?
Yeah.
So because they're not related from what I could tell. So, but now Queen Elizabeth is also almost like they're both almost 100. So if you think about it.
Well, he's dead, right?
He's dead.
Yeah.
But I think he
husband.
Was 99.
Yeah,
when he
was 99.
So if you go back 100 years, like. Okay, early 1900s, I can roll with that.
That makes sense.
They supposedly really loved each other. So
that's some messed up. There's, I mean, third cousin is, because I do ancestry, but it's, I mean, that's down the line.
It is.
So it's not too bad. It's not like your first cousins.
Or sisters and brothers.
Exactly.
Sister wives or whatever the fuck that show is. That's what all I think about. I think about inbreeding when that name comes up.
I'm telling you.
So, okay, here's something else that I want to mention. Blue skin and the Fugates. So blue skin is a very rare condition called, and I'm trying not to butcher this, but it's methemoglobinemia. So I've probably butchered that. But it's a disorder that reduces the amount of oxygen in the blood and body tissue, and it makes the skin appear blue. And before people knew what it was, they described the Fugates. This is a family that had this rare gene and disorder running rampant in, you know, among them. So several members of this family had blue skin. Wow. So they were described as, quote, like anybody else, except they had the blue color, end quote. Quote, bluer in hell, end quote. Quote, indigo blue, end quote. Quote, almost purple, end quote. Quote, bluish all over, end quote. Quote, as blue a woman as I ever saw, end quote. There's a ton of these quotes, right? So let me describe a little bit about what it is. This is a genetic defect that comes from a rare recessive gene. And it's, most people aren't affected by it unless they happen to reproduce with someone else who carries this rare recessive gene. And so where the Fugates were located and where they're concerned, legend has it that a mom and a dad, ironically, both carried this recessive gene, and they reproduced in this very remote area in Kentucky. And eventually, there was a great deal of inbreeding, and the gene was prominent in this Fugate family. So basically, what they're saying is, this is an actual disorder. Does it mean that you're inbred? No. Let me just clarify that. However, if you find yourself in a small little town in a mountain area and you see several people with this recessive gene, you probably
don't want to hook up with them.
Are seeing someone who is
inbred. Because they're blue. Are they like the Blue Man group? Is it?
No.
Is it that blue?
It's not that blue, but there's also different variations. Like some of them look pale blue, like your canister, or like the pale blue of the mask that you wear, like the surgical mask.
Yeah, wow.
And some of them looked a little deeper, like almost purple. But it's, like I said, I've never seen it. I never had heard about it. There's also supposedly back hundreds of years, potentially blue urine. But there's all sorts of things. I don't even know that we can say this is or isn't caused because of inbreeding.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. So that is my show for today, you guys. Thank you so much. I hopefully you find
that was these fascinating. Things
interesting.
That was super fascinating. And you know, all I can say is, guys, don't stay away from incest.
And you know what? It may not be a bad idea just to ask for a DNA sample from the person that you're like. What's, it's not going to hurt. Come on. I mean, it's 2022. Get woke.
I know, I was like, people get tested for HIV, diseases, STDs. All the time. I mean,
we just want to make sure we're not related.
Thank you. Let's just take a let's quick talk about ancestry.
It. It's okay. Or can we compare ancestry notes? Can there you go.
Let's look at your tree. Let's look at mine. Let's make sure we're not related.
It's just, I mean, you don't know. All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
This episode of Status Macabre is recorded live from the Maddie Johnson Podcast Studio at GOT Sound Studio in Columbia, South Carolina. This episode is produced and engineered by Neek the Geek, owner and operator of GOT Sound Studio. To support the show, please visit statusmacabre.com for links to social media, merchandise, and more. Special thanks to Muff the Producer, Neek the Geek, Eric Gruber, and you, our listeners. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share. Thank you for listening.